Welcome to the podcast.
Sup, girl. That'll do.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
By Cromwell.
That'll do. That'll do, pig. Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle.
And this is the show.
It's the show.
All of it. In one place.
Shut up and get to the news.
News time!
Current Zero News Flash.
I'm going to open with the time of the recording. There's somewhat recent Marvel teasers. One of them saying, dead no more.
Namor's back, finally!
After all these weeks, who is a major Marvel dead person at this point?
Forbushman?
Yeah, pretty much.
Jack Kirby!
Oh.
Please let it be
if you
Jack
bring
Kirby.
Back, listen, if Marvel resurrects Jack Kirby, then you know what?
They have the power.
Everything's forgiven.
I feel like Kevin Nealon made this joke many years ago.
It's Disney. They can probably do it
Disney
now.
Can do it. I mean, the easy, you know, suggestion is Wolverine, though, you know, they have a new Wolverine who has just started a series, so that would be a big dick move if they cut that off.
We're waiting. I think they went almost Kermit there.
I did. I don't know what I did.
It was the second teaser.
You don't have to put on the red light.
I like how I cannot do the news story.
Now, this is what I call news.
I'm going to Amsterdam.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Listen.
Go
pervert,
ahead.
Pervert Kermit, you're doing fine.
Go ahead, fuckface.
Permit.
Permit, yeah.
Permit.
Permit is our, yeah, we've finally got a name.
Oh, there we go.
We finally got a name.
Hey, we've got a new recurring character.
You can join.
Things that we use three times and then disregard.
Yeah, exactly. The second teaser was, I think it was Best Beware My Sting, and it was like yellow and black. Obviously, the Wasp. But then, a few days later, I don't know if it leaked or it was just announced that there would be a new Wasp.
That's right.
Oh, was it actually said? Oh, okay.
Which is like the first time that's happened. It's always been Janet Van Dyne.
Except for that one time when it was Hank Pym.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. There's that.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
Yeah, I know.
Originally thought it was going to be when they did the Sting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be Hank Pym, but I didn't realize apparently he's back already. I didn't even know.
There was a picture apparently. So
wait,
apparently in the whatever the Marvel new free comic book day title is, we'll have introduced the new Wasp. I'm wondering if it'll be some sort of a take on like Hope.
The movie?
Yeah, thing, like Hope Van Dyne or Hope Pym or whatever her name was. The
Pym.
Hope Van Dyne Pym or whatever was technically like a MC2 character. It was like the sort of Spider-Girl verse when she was a villain. So they sort of like very loosely worked her into things. And it worked out well in that movie, so you know. Also, Star Wars. People like Star Wars these days.
Uh-huh.
Do they?
They are putting out a miniseries, I think, a Poe Dameron comic.
Oh,
yeah.
By Charles Soule and Phil Noto. And the reason I find that kind of interesting is because Phil Noto drew the Chewbacca comic, which was a miniseries as well. So I'm wondering, like, are you just have Phil Noto just drawing? Are you just going to constantly have some Star Wars miniseries going along? Oscar Isaac is having one hell of a year. I will say that. He's
fun.
He's
like
great.
Like
he's a great actor. He's got a lot of, like, classic charm.
He was weirdly intense in Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Like, scary.
Oh, shit, that was him.
Yeah, well, that was him and Hux?
Yeah, Domhnall Gleeson.
Ah.
Or Domhnall, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That never even clicked.
That didn't click for me until a week after the second time I saw it.
Ah, okay, yeah. That was such a great movie.
Yeah.
Such a great movie.
I guess they're both having a great year.
Yep.
But apparently it's going to basically be, the comics is going to be the mission that led Poe to Jakku in the movie, so it's going to sort of like fill in
the
that
lead
gap.
Up. Yeah, okay.
And it seems like that's basically what kind of Marvel Star Wars comics are doing is filling in those gaps. And
I'm fine with that.
They're doing it pretty well. And as long as everything's, you know, it's not working like Marvel Star Wars comics did in like the 70s and 80s, where they actually have a plan where everything actually fits together, then that's just fine
but
by yeah, me.
But it's a totally different atmosphere. You're talking about, like, in the Marvel's 70s Star Wars comics.
Oh, yeah.
They had no idea what was even coming. They were absolutely. They were making comics before the movie came out.
Absolutely.
Technically. Wait,
so are you guys... Are you suggesting some sort of synergy?
No, an awareness.
Here's something for nerds.
Who are they?
The news just gets looser and looser.
I'm very sorry about this. So yeah, apparently, officially, the term 616 for Marvel Earth is done.
No, it's not more.
What? That's what it said. That's what has been said by apparently a lot of like Marvel editors and stuff. Supposedly hate it, even though literally everyone else is just fine with it. But yeah, so after Secret Wars, the world, Marvel Universe, Marvel Earth, whatever, has been like restored. But it's what's called Prime Earth of the Marvel Universe, which sounds very DC.
That's DC.
That's
why
DC as
why
hell.
Would you do that?
Because the whole new universe came out of that one, so.
Yeah, well.
But why even? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It has no bearing.
Why don't they call it Universe One?
Or the multiverse. I mean, the whole point of the ending was that.
Why don't they call it Earth One?
Yeah.
Then it'll be fine.
Or the Alpha Flight universe.
Spoilers for Secret Wars, but Secret War, but, you know, the multiverse still around. Kind of been remade also.
I just read the final one of Secret Wars.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I just did not give any pause for a spoiler warning.
No, well, but it's not like anything was. They've been doing the
we already know
Secret
this.
Wars.
They've had the post
and
everything just continues.
If,
like,
have you read
fine.
It? Have either of you read it?
The end of Secret Wars?
Yeah.
The last issue?
Yeah.
No, I read most of it.
I'm officially back on comics as of today.
As of today.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Kyle's new computer, which we're recording on.
Yay! All right. Yay! Quote unquote comicsology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. Supposedly,
but
yeah.
But there's not a lot really explained at the end of that. It's just kind of a.
You gotta leave it open because you could just turn it into another crossover at some point.
Well, yeah, it's not really done that way, which I kind of like, that it's not like, oh, we're just leading into the next one. But it's like. The ending is left very open. I really liked what they did with Fantastic Four.
Okay,
let me just say that I could not have been happier.
They're pretty much off the table as Fantastic Four because of if rumors are to be believed, pettiness. But if you're gonna get them off the table, that was kind of a nice way to do it.
And I think they set them up as a sci-fi comic and not a superhero comic. If they want to do something, they have an incredible setup to do a book that's really unique and interesting if they want to pursue that.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I'm cutting into your music.
Oh, that's absolutely... It spins off of it well. So yeah, apparently the term Earth 616 is over, but we'll see. One last news item of particular interest to me. There's been some details leaked along with some screenshots at the time this is recording... very recently, that there's going to be a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game based on the IDW comic.
Ooh.
Is that what you had posted?
Yes.
Yeah,
I posted that as my cover
that.
Image.
And it looked really good.
It looks really good. It's by Activision is the publisher, but the developer is Platinum Games.
Oh, shit!
Who did Bayonetta, Mad World back in the day for the Wii, which is interesting, The Wonderful 101, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, and there's a new Transformers game.
They did Legend of Korra as well.
Yes, the Legend of Korra game. So they have a very good track record, actually.
Yeah. As long as they make it proper multiplayer.
Yeah, there's that. But the art, like, it's very nice. It's, like, cel-shaded and has, like, sort of the, like, inking around the characters, kind of. Like, it's made to look like as much like Mattia Santoluco, I believe, is the artist who's one of the main artists on that comic. As much like his art as possible. And only screenshots, nothing in motion so far, but the screenshots look very nice. And it's very cool to see something like this being made. I mean, like, you don't know how the game's going to turn out exactly. It's a good developer as far as
but
I'm
concerned.
But
it looks good as animated. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, those images look great. If the gameplay's good, I'm excited. And it's very interesting to see, like, how often... So it does happen sometimes, but like a game like this based on the comic version of something that has other more prevalent, maybe more mainstream, well-known versions out there, That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially for the Ninja Turtles. And it's kind of the first time, I think, something... For that franchise, it's sort of been kind of loosely adapted from something, aside from, like, you know, some based on the Nickelodeon cartoon and stuff like that.
Yeah, or like the super, super old PC game.
Yeah, yeah, Manhattan Missions, that one? Yeah, yeah. So this one, apparently, funny enough, it's called Mutants in Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan.
Mm.
And it's firmly based on the IDW game. I don't think it's even been officially announced. But there's been, like, Xbox achievements were leaked online, and these were leaked online, apparently, screenshots. So they might be trying to sort of, you know, do a marketing, like, sort of a viral marketing thing without having to pour a lot of money into it. Which is cool, and I hope it turns out well, and it looks amazing so far, so. And that's all I got.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Love those sweet, sweet sounds.
Okay, so today's warm-up segment, as you may know at this point, we sort of just alternate whatever our topic is, and it sort of varies. So I wanted to talk a little bit about a D-list character near and dear to my heart.
Oh, okay.
Just sort of go over his history a little bit, about what you know, what I like about this character a little bit.
Then we point and laugh?
Oh, you can point and laugh.
Yes!
You kind of have to with this character, because I'm talking...
The Fabulous Frogman. The Fabulous Frogman. The Fabulous Frogman.
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. He looks like Brick Frog.
He is,
Brick Frog minus bricks.
Okay, yeah. His,
Which Frogman are we talking? There's a couple of different characters.
We're not talking Leapfrog. We are talking his son.
From which book?
Spider-Man. Mostly Spider-Man comics.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's that. Okay, yeah. That's
what his real name, Eugene Petilio. Son of Leapfrog, who is a minor...
Hey, I'm jumping here!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect! Oh, beautiful.
End of segment.
Yeah.
That's in my way.
Yeah. Anyway. Leapfrog was Vincent Petilio. Oh, my God. Holy Christ. So Leapfrog was a minor villain from mostly, I think, Daredevil comics. Like, you know, old ones.
A very minor villain.
Very minor villain. Incredibly minor because...
Or just, like, an annoying guy.
Yeah. He's, not like, really just wearing a goofy frog costume. Literally has just, like, flippers with coils on the bottom that he'd make him jump.
Hey, I'm a shitty Batrock here.
He's got googly eyes on top of the mask. It's the whole thing is fantastic. So yeah, he first showed up in
kind of like a villain permit. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
I was thinking Cookie Monster, but
yeah, all right. Yeah. Combination love child, never
ooh,
meant to be.
Ooh,
ooh,
ooh.
Don't say. Go ahead. Sorry,
I got an all new. This is the Frogman reboot. It's coming. They're all under the Disney umbrella. I'm just saying. Yeah. So his first appearance was in Marvel Team Up number 121, where he helped. In quotation marks, Spider-Man defeat Speed Demon. Actually, he did. His whole deal is he's terrible at what he does. He just basically borrowed his dad's Leapfrog costume to be a superhero, and he's terrible at using it, and he mostly just jumps wildly and then crashes into villains and knocks them out. Totally by accident.
That sounds like my strategy.
Yeah. It's not bad.
That's what I do.
Here I come!
So I think that's what happened. He's crashed into Speed Demon, and, you know, then he sort of got into his head after that he was, like, Spider-Man's partner. He's, like, basically trying to be his sidekick, right? He's just delusional.
He's a wannabe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But he's also sort of, like, you know, he kind of had a little brush there. He got lucky one time, and then after that he's just like, hey, you know, he thinks he's a big deal. He's like, I'm an idol of millions. I'm Frogman. Like, he's totally gone to his head. He thinks he's Spider-Man's partner, and Spider-Man's just sort of like... Oh, Jesus Christ. You're a nice kid, but no. Just trying to dissuade him, but failing.
Hmm.
So he showed up again.
And then failure has haunted Spider-Man for years.
As all failures do.
Yeah.
And I think there was another one, too, where he ran into him at one point, and Mary Jane, he invited him to dinner with his dad. Like, to the Petilio's house for dinner, because I guess his dad was reformed.
Sounds like a bad time.
Yeah, and Mary Jane said, you should do it. You should definitely go to their house for dinner.
Mary Jane came along and became attracted.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy triangle.
Well, it's that tongue.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Leaping from pad to pad.
I make them jump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing. Crisscrossing.
One of my favorite issues here.
His costume went backwards. You couldn't see a goddamn frog face. Costume.
So he just jumps. It just jumps backwards.
He's backwards frog.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Crashes into a wall.
Unconscious. Yeah. So there was an issue where Spider-Man saved the Toad. I guess the Toad was rejected by Magneto again because Magneto is a bad boyfriend.
You're such a dick.
And so Toad was gonna jump off a building and kill himself, and then Spider-Man saved him. And basically was just like, hey, don't kill yourself, guy. You got things to live for, probably.
You're such a dick.
I got a friend that you might want to talk to. He's kind of froggy-toady, too.
Oh, hey. It. Oh, yeah.
And they went on to start in a series of children's books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they have an apartment together now. And,
Yeah.
Things are going well.
Toad,
It's nice.
It started a floral shop.
Yeah. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
It's good.
Anyway, the Toad tried to decided, I'm going to be your, he did the same fucking thing, the Toad. He's like, I'm going to be your sidekick. I'm going to be your crime-fighting partner now. Spider-Man's like, Jesus Christ, no! What is happening? Trying to dissuade him. Then apparently, the Toad was setting up a hit on Spider-Man.
You're such a dick.
Okay. He's a terrible hero.
Yeah.
So he could save him. Like, Toad was going to jump in and save the day at the last minute to prove that he's useful to Spider-Man. But Frogman, Eugene, gets wind of this somehow, and he's like, I'm gonna warn Spider-Man that this is happening, and then they basically just get into sort of a pissing contest where they both think that they're Spider-Man's partner.
All right, yeah.
And they piss everywhere. I mean, they're frogs and toads.
Someone tries to pick them up, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And
wet hands.
So these two have a rivalry for Spider-Man's partnership, and then, do y'all know about the Spider-Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie Osnick, yep. Spider-Kid. He, in the last minute, just shows up, also angry.
Crying. Just weeping.
All angry, too. It's like, what do you two think you're doing? I'm Spider-Man's sidekick. And the Spider-Man says, why don't you guys just be a team? Just go be a team, you misfits. And then they said, misfits, perfect. And they became a team called the Misfits.
How long ago was this?
And then, oh, this was probably like the 80s.
Okay. And then Danzig shows up and...
Mother!
Yeah!
Danzig shows up.
And that's how the band...
They fought Jerry only.
Yeah.
Then they rivaled with Jem and the holograms.
Perfect. You know, it's a goofy, funny comics. I forget who wrote these exactly. It was in that certain 80s period that I kind of love from Spider-Man. I kind of, it's weirdly sweet to me in a way, because you have these people like Spider-Man, like Peter Parker was sort of invented. He's like a teenage nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Except, you know, he was a very good-looking, smart-together kind of guy for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, he was like a Hollywood nerd.
He was
not originally.
He was like Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Not in the Ditko years.
Yeah, he was more dickish and awkward. He was kind of
Ditko-ish.
Yeah, he was Ditko-ish. Yeah,
fucking Ditko.
But still, he wasn't. He was like a you know, he was like a thin, handsome guy. Basically, maybe plain, but not ugly. You have like Frogman. He's overweight.
He's a dumpy fella.
Yeah, he's overweight. Yeah. He's got like the curly red hair. He's, you know what I mean. He's
sounds like me.
You're quite swarthy. You're quite svelte.
I mean, at one point. I can relate to the character.
All right.
Jill don't know me. Jill don't know me. Jill don't know me.
Yeah.
Don't judge.
Like, he really means well. I've always kind of liked the character in that way, because he's a joke character, but at the same time, he's a real, like, more of a proper nerd outcast type, where you can see where he may not, like, Peter Parker could fit in if he tried. That was always that character. It's like, maybe stop being self-absorbed with your Spider-Man stuff. You can have friends. And then he did. And then he was actually pretty popular as time went on.
Popular enough to get 3 sidekicks.
The best damn sidekicks around. But yeah, you have like Frogman who couldn't do that. And you have Ollie, who was like also like an overweight guy with glasses and acne. And you have Toad, who's just, you know.
Toad.
He's a mess. That guy's just a mess.
So it's the actual teenage outcast kind of thing.
Kind of a thing, exactly. Yeah. That, where you have them, and they're drawn, like, just the idea, like, maybe, I don't know if it's intentional or not, the idea that they're drawn to Spider-Man for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because of, you know, plot reasons, I guess. But they're also just continue to be drawn to him. They're like, I like you. I want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I have a connection with you. And it's sort of like, yeah, like a lot of like kids, like nerd kids reading comics that were drawn to Spider-Man for that reason. It sort of feels like, oh, you sort of have an avatar here.
You have a natural link to that.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
A, you're me.
Yeah.
And it's whether I know it's you. And
it's kind of like they're poked fun at, but at the same time, it's sort of in a good-natured way where you kind of like them. It's sweet. Mm. They're kind of pathetic, but they mean well. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about Frogman, and then I did. All right, moving on.
That's for you. What the f***?
All right, on to the main topic. And the main topic today, Lynn Johnston, cartoonist for the strip For Better or For Worse, has recently, well, she hasn't really been doing the strip for quite a while.
She's done for a few years.
She's done probably like 10 or more now.
Yeah.
Well, although like the official series,
is it still running?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, it's
running syndication. Sort of repeats with new.
No, it's just straight repeats.
Oh, is it?
Oh, okay. For a while it was sort of half and half, and she was drawing stuff in the old style, but she's since completely stopped, and they're just doing reprints.
Okay.
But she just recently has embarked on a gallery tour, showing some of her new stuff that she's been doing, working in fabric and other art, linked also with actual examples of her original strips. And she's actually traveled across Canada doing this, and has come through Thunder Bay, our hometown. Yay. And showing in the Thunder Bay Art Gallery, and Kyle and I were lucky enough to be contacted and being part of a secondary show that's called, I always forget the name.
Right? Unconstrained.
Unconstrained.
I'm forgetting the name.
I remember because I think I might have helped come up with the name.
Oh, really?
Not on purpose. Because I was talking about Constrained Comics with Stacy, the organizer.
Oh, okay, cool.
And just sort of giving that as an example of something that comics could do.
Right. So, yeah, next I heard Unconstrained, the show and it's like five emerging artists in locally sort of thing. So there's Kyle and I, Boy Roland, Callan Banning, and Andrew Dolan, the fifth Beatle. Yes. and
who's the fourth in this situation?
I don't know. We need to find them later on. But
Invisible Dave. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm fine.
But we actually she did her opening and she came through town. And did a little talk and stuff, but we were lucky enough to meet her the night before. We were allowed to have a little meet and greet, and Brian was invited along too.
I tagged along.
It was cool. It was kind of put out that it was like a meet and greet for the five artists with her. Then there was like a portfolio review involved in that, but then anybody locally who wanted to have a portfolio review with Lynn was invited.
So like
to
people
come
that
do
comics just showed up. It's like, oh shit, look. Look, comics. They're
big
comics.
Yeah. There wasn't a huge amount of them, but you showed up and...
Susan Madison, right?
Yeah.
She's there, and her husband, right? Was it Colin, I think his name is?
I didn't catch... I
think it's Colin.
Andrew knows
him,
and I...
And I'm so sorry if you're listening to this.
Yeah, I didn't catch names. It was just a lot of, like, back and forth and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually... We spent, like, 3 hours that night with her, and she was super nice.
She was
really interesting.
Very approachable.
Super approachable. Yeah. Really, like, heavily self-deprecating sort of humor. I was worried, actually, to be honest, going into it, because I thought, oh, shit, I fucking hate portfolio reviews. And I almost thought, I don't want to even bring my portfolio, but I'd like to meet her and just talk with her and just see what she's done and what she has to say and blah, blah, blah. But I am glad I brought it because she walked in right off the bat and was like, I am not doing a portfolio review. I just want to see what you guys are doing. She was just interested in what... She started comics, what, like 30 years ago? 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she hasn't been doing that actively for a while now.
She mentioned that she was like even, you know, like involved in comics, like artist organizations in like New York in the 80s. Like,
totally. Yeah, yeah. She's been doing it for a while. And she started... obviously pre-internet, and so it was like a whole different world when she started.
Well, that was what I thought was so interesting. Like, she was asking questions about internet stuff, and like, oh yeah, I guess the syndicate just does everything for you.
Yeah.
And that's Like, she was talking about...
And it's interesting, she had no real clue of, like, how that stuff works. Not that we are, like, so knowledgeable about it, but we knew...
We know stuff.
We know enough stuff about what's going on, and just different approaches. And it was interesting just to hear her talk and be that excited. It was like, what are you doing? How are you... And she was asking questions, which I thought was awesome. That was just like, how are you doing this? And how do you expect to make a living? And she was genuinely interested and excited and open to hearing that. When you, like, people of her stature and I don't want to say her age, but, like, if somebody who's my mom's age or a little bit younger, that, like, asking and hearing us talk about this stuff, it's often like, oh, well, I know what you're, I know exactly.
I'd rather it not be dismissive.
Yeah, and be like, I'm going to give you the advice, rather than us just saying, well, this is what we're doing, and going, oh, that was really interesting, I didn't know you could do that. And it was a lot of, like, roundtable kind of stuff. Yeah. And I was super
shocked. It was really cool when she was looking at people who did very just, like, computer, like, generated, like Callan's, for example. She was just, like, you know, stunned, I think. Yeah. Callan's stuff is amazing. So everyone is stunned looking at that.
She does beautiful. Yeah,
but it was just, like, she was just like, oh, my God, how did you do this? And everything. She was just very, like, something that she hadn't maybe done herself, right? And it's just sort of...
Well, it's a totally different technique and different materials for sure. And stuff she's never really toyed with. So it's interesting to see somebody, again, of that experience be wowed and be really genuinely excited and going, oh my God, how do you do this?
Well, that was what was cool about it. The vibe is like, you know, sort of like learning stuff from about her, and she was very equally into learning stuff
in
the other direction. So.
She was quirky and weird, and I loved her for that.
Yeah.
It was such a weird night. I have no idea what to really expect. I had a thing in my head of what I expected to hear.
The first 5 minutes of it were like somewhat tense. It was just like...
Well, nobody knows where to start, what are we talking? How are we doing this? Like, is this going to be awkward? And all of a sudden, she's a very good talker, and just kind of jumped in and made and put everybody at ease. And she started off with the, I'm not doing a portfolio review. Mm. I just want to see what you guys are doing, and I'm really interested.
With that in mind, I wish I hadn't tried to put together a portfolio, because I didn't have a good idea of what a portfolio entails. That's never really been my thing. I should have just brought a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I should have done.
Well, like, she was looking at even just, like, the few pages I brought, and it was sort of like, I wish that, like, she was sort of like, oh, it's like, oh, yeah, like, there's no, like, she kind of wanted to be like, what's happening here? And it's like, there was no dialogue, because I just brought my pages.
The original page,
And it's just like, oh, shoot, like, you know what I mean? Almost should have brought the book.
You should have done the voices.
Yeah.
Do you have voices? I'm curious.
In my head?
Yeah.
A few.
Okay. I meant for the comics, specifically.
Yeah. Not psychologically.
I sort of do.
Okay. Does everybody, like, that's interesting. Does everybody have a different voice to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Lorden is just Bruce Campbell.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was thinking John Goodman.
Oh, really? I always had the idea. It's like, recently I pitched that as, like, you know, as a student, had, like, a pitch for it as, like, a cartoon, and it was just, like, Bruce Campbell.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
That was just the only thing that came to my head, and it hasn't left it since.
Johnny Drama.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, moving on.
But, yeah, it was interesting seeing her talk, and it was, and I say she's quirky, because she would be, like, talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, she would shoot off in another direction. Not unlike what we do. Like a tangent, but it was like, oh,
look at
wow,
the moon.
You just gave off way more information than I was expecting to hear tonight. And,
oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With just,
she's a very open,
like,
person.
Yeah. Very open. And I get the sense that she's like that just naturally. And
yeah,
you know, just hearing about her personal life and, you know, like she's moved to Vancouver and like, oh, she split from her husband and just threw that out. Like it
was
like, I'm just talking about pancakes. You know, just
to be fair, some of that was like public record.
Well, not that it wasn't public record, but it's general knowledge of
she was candid about it.
Yeah. But we weren't even talking about it. All of a sudden, woo, it just darts off, and then I'm like, whoa, okay, all right.
But the way she talked, it was so relaxed, the way she talked about that stuff.
She's obviously used to talking in public and with people about that stuff. So
Yeah.
And it was interesting, the whole crowdsourcing thing came up, and just to see her reaction of how that works.
Right.
And there was a couple things that came up, and she had a certain amount of cynicism about the process and certain like companies and things involved, she told us that she had not been paid for her first three books that were produced. She's never right. been paid for them. And it's basically like those, and I've heard that from several different people from like who have dealt with publishers directly and really them getting fucked in the end. And it's like, wow, okay, maybe it's good that we're doing this independently and we're in control yeah. of what we're doing. Like, yes, we don't have the reach a publishing house does, but you know what? I don't do everything, give it to you, and then, oh, sorry, we can't pay you for anything, and we've been selling your books for a year.
How many times that happens? You hear that stuff happening from like certain even like comic publishers all the time. Yeah, they just like fold and it's like you're not getting your money back.
Yeah.
And she had that one story too about like there's the animation studio that like shut down and didn't pay people what they owed them, and then they
and then got back together.
Yeah, they got like government money or something, like grant money, and then like you know got their business back up, and then people had to basically like sign a contract saying we're not going to ask for the money you owe us, which is just
horrible.
And I don't know if you caught, she was on one of the local radio stations, LU Radio. Krista Harper was interviewing her, and I caught it actually twice. They repeated it later, and I caught the rest of the interview. And I caught the first bit of it before we went for this thing, and I kind of had part of it in my mind, and I was thinking of you, actually, Bri. Oh, no. As we were going in, I didn't know if she was going to bring this up. She hates manga. Like, with a fucking passion.
Yeah.
Really? She hates it.
My wife, Sherry, interviewed her for the radio, and that came up in that,
too. Oh,
really?
Too. Oh, yeah. She was, and did not hold back when she was like, oh, it's, I think Krista had asked, like, oh, do you have any advice for people who are trying to get into the business? And she's like, yeah, stay away from manga. And she's she started off nice, but then she just went full on. She's like, it's cookie cutter crap. It's crap. Don't learn how to... She's like, you know, like, do it and enjoy it, but then you know what? You got to leave it because it's cookie cutter crap. You'll impress your friends. You can show it to your mom, and she'll like, oh, look what my boy can do. And that's great, but you know what? You're not learning a fucking thing. Like, that sort of approach. Like, whoa. Okay.
I wish I had heard that because
It was pretty full on.
Because I went through a little... tiny manga phase.
Well, but it is. It has a very specific style, and there's not a lot of room for.
Yes.
Not that you can't learn stuff from it.
I think there's a specific type of manga that would apply to, and that's true. But I mean, like, you put any. I would like to show her, like, a volume of, like, Akira.
Right.
That art is freaking incredible. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, some of it's pretty cookie cutter.
I think what she's thinking of is, like, you know. Stiff romance digest.
Sure, yeah.
But the general like when you say manga, you have a general approach to how that art is done.
You do.
All right.
Sherry had did an interview with her, and she was sort of editing pieces for her news piece because she's a reporter, right? And I was there, and I was listening.
Ace reporter.
Yeah, she's an ace reporter. That's true. anyway, there was a part where she was talking about that too, but it seemed like she was kind of touching on maybe just sort of like working environments. For manga not being great.
Well, she did talk about that. Yeah, she was like, if you get into that, you get into a factory thing. And she actually mentioned that in a couple of different things I heard her say, both in our talk and on the radio.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, it's just a factory thing when you're talking about animation and you get stuck in with that. And it's like, okay, you know what? That's true. Like,
it's very true.
If you want to do your art, don't get caught into this because you're not doing your art. You're doing like... Oh, so I'm going to draw this character walking and as a factory thing.
I'm going to be a tweener.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like Kirby.
It worked for Jack Kirby, I was going to say. It's just sort of the way she talks. I think she gets very excited about something. She's very open and stuff. And I hope the crux of her point was basically just like, don't work for someone else's idea, work for your own.
She never really got into it, but in the sense of normal comics like Marvel or DC kind of thing, she touched on it and I got the sense that she was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Like, don't get caught in it and you're just doing other people's stuff. And she had said that in front of me, we got into it, I probably would have been like, you know what, it is and it isn't. Yes, you're working with other characters and there's a history to that, but you're putting your own mark on it.
Yeah.
And you obviously, like, every comic artist has their own style.
As long as you know what you're getting into in the first place and you're realistic about it, then what's wrong with it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was a great time.
I was super, super pleased. I was very hesitant walking in.
Yeah.
I felt happy walking in. I felt spent leaving it.
Yeah.
I went home and I was like, I'm just fucking, wow. It was way more than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of, it was weird to process exactly. Like, I was overthinking a lot. Again, I like showed her, like, I had a few pages, but I followed Callan. So it was just like, oh, that's not a good thing.
Well, Nobody should have to follow Callan. She's amazing.
I was trying to, like, just avoid the whole thing.
Like, I could tell you were, like, hovering around the side, and then you were... Do you want... I wanted to make sure that she saw your song.
I know you did.
I know.
Like, fuck, goddammit, Chris.
No, what you did?
I am evil.
She was very nice.
Yeah.
She was very nice.
Get it in there.
She was very nice to everybody, and it was a really cool experience.
I jumped in first. I was like, fuck, do mine first. Yeah. Nobody jumped in. Do it. I was like, wow, okay, that was painless, and it was actually really helpful in a way. Like, not that she was like, you need to draw this way and gave me tips, but it was just... It was encouraging is what I got out of it, really. And I was like... Everybody, she's going to be that way.
Mom likes it.
Yeah. That was totally it. It was like a mom figure. And it's somebody who's been in that business.
She reminded me quite a bit of my aunt.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I was like, yeah. Hi, Edna. Edna's a listener.
Is she?
She's not.
No.
But she did buy me all the Calvin and Hobbes books when I was a kid. So.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Planted a seed.
In my brain belly.
In your brain belly. Yeah.
Good time. We had a good time.
We did.
That was good. And if you happen to be in a city where she's traveling through and doing that, check out the show. It's really interesting. If you're locally in Thunder Bay while it's here, check it out while it's still here. And check out our stuff too.
And if you want to hear at least Mark and I talk a bunch more, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, then come to the art gallery tomorrow.
Thursday, February 4th. Yes.
At Thunder Bay Art Gallery at 7:30. Jason Wellwood is heading up a panel of all of us that are in the Unconstrained.
So it's only going to be softball questions.
Yeah, we'll see what... I have no idea what to expect. It's like 2 hours, and I don't know... He's not even sure. He's like, I don't know. I'm just going to make this up. And it's going to be interesting, I guarantee it.
Kyle and Merck be answering questions. They'll be talking.
Oh, shit.
I'll be in attendance.
I was going to say, if they have questions from the audience, you're just going to...
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be a total asshole.
You're such a dick.
Do it.
Cool.
Got one more cheat. No. No, I'm kidding.
They have a sign.
Yeah.
God hates you.
You guys suck.
With a drawing of Lord.
Yeah.
Just pointing angrily.
Lord.
I was actually just wanting to come to be supportive, and also I love you guys, and I want to hear you talk. But now I'm doing that.
Get a song that's or a sign that says like something from 1 Million Moms.
Yeah,
boycotting us.
Oh, perfect.
That'll work.
Yeah,
1 Million Moms and wear like a Rastafari hat.
One million bald guys.
Yeah. 1 million balds.
Of zero. Moment of zero.
Okay, so for this week's Moment of Zero, we've got a dramatic reading. This comes to us from Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
The Essential,
which I found for $5 many years ago.
It is essential.
In this scene...
Set up the scene for us.
Godzilla is rampaging through New York City. And you know who lives in New York City?
Everybody.
Well, not the champions.
Where are the champions based?
San Francisco.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good for them.
They are the champions, my friend. But you know who else lives in New York? It's Mr. J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson.
I need a Robbie, I guess.
Is this supposed to be Robbie Robertson?
Yeah, sure is.
It's a little off
the
model.
The pipe falls right out of his mouth. He looks very, what's the word?
Yeah.
Shocked?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the word.
I'll be Robbie if you want.
I need some.
Well, I'll be Robbie.
Who are you going to be?
Oh, he's Jonah.
You're Jonah?
Yeah, you're Godzilla.
Does Godzilla have
work on
lines?
It. Work on your roar. Oh, he's got roars.
All right, okay. Where are you starting?
Just pull it out of that Green Day song. Sorry. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Awful. It's the wrong Godzilla.
I ride in Times Square, Robertson. In case you haven't heard the news, I want to know what it's all about. There's a newspaper, Robertson. Why isn't there a story on my desk about it? Jesus Christ, I can't do that for 3 pages.
You committed.
There's a newspaper, Robertson. Why isn't there a story on my desk about it? The who, what, when, where, and why about this riot? Robertson, where is it?
Easy, Jonah. I just got here. Haven't had a chance to... Oh, no.
What's the matter?
And his pipe falls out.
That's the pipe falling sound.
Robbie's pipe falls. When it falls, right
it
out.
Says, and his pipe falls out. Well, answer me, Plastic. What blazes is wrong with you, Robertson? Your pipe's burning my carpet.
Jonah.
Speak up, man. Is it the window? What do you see out? It's Godzilla. Huge. Right in the middle of town. This is the biggest story of all time. Why aren't any reporters out there? And photographers, we gotta get pictures of this. Where's that blasted Peter Parker? Never around when you need him. Get me a camera, I'll take the picture myself. Where are the police? Why are they doing anything to stop this giant menace? Watch it, you overgrown lizard. You're messing with J. Jonah Jameson here.
That's the actual sound that Godzilla's making.
Oh.
Frankincense. And then... That's, I guess, burning.
So,
it's a blast of hot air, apparently.
So that's how J. Jonah Jameson dies.
Yeah. He got a blast of hot air. Yeah. Got his own medicine.
That's a perfect death.
So, Godzilla fights the Avengers and the Fantastic Four for a little bit, something, something, yada, yada, yada. And then, Spider-Man shows up. As Godzilla walks into the ocean.
Of course. Oops! Appears I'm a little too late to crash this party, and it looks like it was a Class A beaut. Still, it's just as well. I'm really bushed. And at least I've got one pick for Jolly Jonah. Hardly spectacular, a rear shot. A rear shot.
And the from giggles are in the comic.
And from a distance at that. But at least it wasn't a total loss.
So, the second last page of this fucking omnibus.
Yeah.
We get the Spider-Man cameo.
At least it was there.
In the very next page, Godzilla walks into the ocean and disappears forever. The end.
Oh, but no, go back.
No.
Look what happens right after that.
A Japanese boy cries.
A Japanese boy cries.
Yeah.
Godzilla's gone for good.
One final roar.
Meow.
In farewell.
So Godzilla killed Jonah Jameson, so his work here is done.
I feel like that other part isn't necessary.
With the champions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least mention what the part you like the most.
Oh, yeah. Favorite part of the book. It's like issue 2 or 3 of this, and the champions have a little thing. Godzilla's attacking San Francisco, and they're like, oh, we've got to go stop this thing. It cuts to a SHIELD helicarrier, and then 18 minutes later, the Champ's craft streaks over San Francisco Bay. It took them 18 fucking minutes in their flying car.
They're in the same city.
Yeah.
And they have a flying car.
It's a big city.
But it's a flying car. There's no traffic.
As the crow flies, it might be... It could be a bad headwind.
I guess so.
You never know. Not exactly an aerodynamic car.
As the car flies.
As the car flies.
I think
they're the champions. They get like Fantastica rejects, okay? Yeah. They take what they can get.
Their logo is basically like Gladiator's thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a...
It just add a little thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a triangle with a bite out of it.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part...
Who's eating all my triangles?
It's just like the angel sitting kind of sullen looking in the back seat of the champ car. He's like, I could be
flying. He's got flying wings, faster.
And he's in a flying car just sitting there like...
Could have made it here in 12 minutes.
Yeah. There's so much space in the front, but like in the previous scene, Hercules was hitting on Black Widow, and now...
It's just huge space.
Like, he's got his arm up, but he's keeping his distance, because he's respectful.
That's those... Hercules is known for that.
You get a widow's bite where the sun don't shine.
Hercules. The Hercules.
Mm. Oh. My cousin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's that is literally a dad joke because I got that from my dad.
Well,
that wraps it up. Thanks for joining us. I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc. Or nowadays, or of course, Zero Issues Comic Podcast on Facebook.
I'm Bri Kotick. Welcome to hereafter.com is where my comic is, or welcome to Hereafter on Facebook, or just type my name all up in that Google and you'll probably find me on the social medias. BRYKOTYK.
And I am THE Kyle Lees. You can find me on Facebook at THE Kyle Lees. You can also check out my new site, which will be up by the time this episode goes up. So This Is Them. SoThisIsThem.com. It's like an interview series, a little bit of comic stuff. I'm working on it.
So I don't have all the final details, but you'll see it by the time this episode goes up.
Woo-hoo!
So,
oh man,
exciting.
Okay.
Exciting.
Yeah. One interview down, second one is happening tomorrow. And they're fun. They'll be fun reads.
Cool.
That's yeah. awesome.
This is me throwing my hat over the fence. Also want to thank Ocean City Defender for his diligent work on
all the music little bits in between and in and around there. Yes, thank you.
All the parts where we're not talking and you get a brief respite.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
it, that's
Ocean City Defender. You can find him on Facebook, on the World Wide Web. Yeah, check out. He's got a couple albums, fantastic stuff.
I highly recommend them.
Yeah, yeah. Go check it out.
Hit it. It's fine. I'm going to set up my own art gallery across the street with blackjack and hook. Never mind.